From COVID 2020 and to over $2 million of capital improvements through our renewal project, to a new worship center, a remake of the staff, a new vision of being a Christ-centered church and one that loves Jesus and lives his mission. Our church has seen the grace of God, and it has been evident in all of our lives. As many of you know, the seven-year mark of our pastors, they are eligible for a sabbatical and an extended time of rest, not only for the benefit of the pastor, but also his family, but also it benefits the congregation. The pastor, he gets an opportunity to cease from his work of shepherding and teaching and spend an extended period of time in his renewal of his spirit, to release any pain or feelings or hurts that have been acquired, a time to reflect or write what God has done, and also rejoice in the goodness of God and just his own personal worship of the Lord, doing some things that he probably needs to do, hasn't had time to do for himself. And for the congregation, they get an opportunity to see the Lord work in the lives of God's people, in their hearts, as God raises up leaders and their heart grows towards Christ as the King. And they recognize their need for Jesus, not a pastor, not a lead pastor, but Jesus himself. So I believe that's what's going to happen through this summer as me and my family go on sabbatical, is the Spirit of God is going to move in my heart in a major way, and the Spirit of God is going to work in the hearts of you, his people, and the congregation. And this fall, we're going to see a movement of God that maybe we've never seen before here at Northwest in some time. And so we're going to be talking about this the next few weeks before we leave to go on sabbatical after Champs Camp. We're going to be talking about God's rest. And so the series we've entitled, The Gospel is Rest. The idea of entering God's rest. It has this connotation of peace with God. This connotation of protection and fellowship and this deep communion with God himself. You see, we have this understanding of rest in the 21st century. When you hear the word rest, I think your mind probably goes to a bag of potato chips on the couch with an Amazon Prime movie, right? That's not what we're talking about at all. The biblical understanding of rest is different. There are actually two Hebrew words that are translated rest in the English, rest. And one is Shabbat, and we'll be talking about this a lot and through this series. Shabbat, which we get the word Sabbath, which literally means to cease. In other words, To stop doing. The other word in the Hebrew is nuach, which we get the word Noah, right? And we understand Noah's name comes from, it literally means to rest, but it means to settle or dwell in. It's a different meaning from Shabbat, and those two words are often translated into English into rest. And we'll see throughout this series that God's rest is actually his intended design for his creation, to cease from their work and to rest or settle or dwell in his presence. When we use the word God's rest, we're meant to understand these Garden of Eden ideals, and that's where we're going to go this morning, to the Garden of Eden, back to the garden, to understand God's rest. God's provision, his protection, God's communion, his presence. And we're going to explore all of these things together. And we're going to start in creation with the seventh day, God resting. And what do that means for us today? So let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to stand in honor of reading God's word as we read God's word together. What a glorious opportunity it is to read the word of God and understand it. All right. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 says this. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. You may be seated. Father God, we thank you for your work. We thank you for giving us work. And it is a good work. And Father, help us to understand what it means to rest. Understand what it means to respond to you in worship with our life. Help us right now, Father, to cease from thinking about our bank accounts and our what we're going to eat and what we're going to wear and what we need to accomplish today and our work. And help us to just sit and rest in your word and allow that to speak to our hearts this morning. May we be a people who understand what it is to sit and dwell in the presence of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You hate to ask, to make assumptions about people when you ask them, what do you do for work? But you generally make assumptions, right? When they answer, this is what I do for work. But at least it gives you an idea about them. It tells you where they fill their time under the sun, right? I mean, a lot of our time is spent in our work. You get an idea of what background they come from, what training they have put in, the time that they put in to get to their job, what kind of environment they are in on a regular basis. I mean, everybody in here would say work is a large part of our life. Even if you're a homemaker and your work is your family and keeping your home, that takes a lot of work. Jordan was gone a couple weeks ago and I was like, all I do is laundry, cook meals, clean the dishes, and that's it. That's all I'm doing. I don't have time for anything else and run the kids to their places. Work is a large part of our life, and we were created to work. In fact, we were created in the image of God, who is a working God. He is at work now. Meaning, we were created to reflect the nature and character of God himself. And guess what he did? He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. He took that which was in disorder and chaos and darkness and put it into order and brought light and brought formation. He took darkness and said, "Let there be light." He separated the waters above and below. He made the land separate from the waters. Then in his creativity, not only does he put the world in order, but then he fills the world with his creative design. He puts on the land trees and seeds bearing plants to multiply. Then he gives the sun, moon, and stars for the seasons. He fills the sky with the birds, and in the seas He fills the seas with the sea creatures. And ultimately, he fills the earth with animals. And his greatest creation, human beings, created in his image and likeness. So this creative work of putting things into order and filling is the work that God does. And as a people created in his image, it is the work that he wants us to do as well. This type of work is essentially the work that most of us do. We don't even know it, but we're actually doing the work that God did in his order of creation. Essentially, that's what we do. Take, for instance, a developer, right? Like a retail developer or housing development. Let's take the Wheeler District of OKC. It's a new development that's come up in the last few years. Take a part of town that's in need of revitalization, put a Ferris wheel in the middle of the housing addition, then guess what? We put some homes there, we clear the land, we put it in order, and pretty soon there's a whole new community of restaurants, businesses, office spaces, and it transforms the entire area of land until it's a desirable place to live. And people want to live there. They'll pay a lot of money to live there. Putting things in order and then filling it, right? This is also the work of a pastor. He takes a group of people, he preaches the word to allow the Lord to lead them from their chaos, put their lives back into order under the submission to Christ, and as a result, a gathering that is defined by looking like Jesus and not the world. And then it fills with the Spirit of the living God, right? In the lives of people. But in some cases, churches are in chaos, with infighting, riddled with sin or debt or false teaching. And there is this call to repentance and allowance for the Spirit of the living God to fill the people of God, that he may fill the earth with image bearers who reflect the glory of God. So what are these people doing? They're taking things that are in disorder and putting them into order and then filling it. What about the gardener? He weeds out the plants that aren't supposed to be there, so the plants that can blossom, putting things in order and produce this beautiful fruit. They're putting their garden back into order, filling it to produce fruit. I can go on and on. A lawyer put someone's legal affairs in order. A wealth manager not only put someone's finances in order, but desires to multiply their wealth so that they can be a blessing to others. A plumber, yeah, he puts chaos back into order, trust me. In our latrines. This is what it means when God says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. It means glorify God at the work of your hands. Have dominion over the animals and the sea, be good stewards. Put it into order. That which comes out of chaos, put it into order. Take it and work it and fill it. Managing God's creation, multiplying image bearers who do that. This is God's design. But in that design, he himself sets forth a pattern of work and rest. And in part of that ceasing from work, you're to do a different kind of work. It's where we get our 7-day calendar, right? We'll talk more about this 7-day Sabbath. This will later be called the Sabbath day, the 7th day, Saturday. As God created 6 days And on the seventh day, he rested. And this seventh day is different than the other 6 days, because we are to cease from work and do a different kind of work. A work of worship. And I will argue that this is the work of resting in God himself. A dwelling in the presence of God and his good work. And in this rest, we are reminded of our glorious Creator. Amen? And his work for us. Ultimately in Christ. And thus, when we rest in Christ, we are able to work for the glory of God. We are reminded of God's gracious gift and his work for us, that we can actually be fulfilled in our work. This is the redemption of work. We're going to talk more about rest, but before we talked about rest, we have to talk about work. So this morning, will you enter into his seventh day rest, God's good design, which is purposeful and meaningful. So let's look at the text today in verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God rested. God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. Sometimes you wonder why there's so much repetitive nature in here. Actually, the Hebrew, there's three lines. In Genesis 2, 1 through 3, there's three lines, and each line is seven words. So the creative nature through which Moses writes these words is incredible. He's pointing us to the seventh day, even in the words that he's using here in the Hebrew text. But this is our first point this morning. The seventh day rest is meant to remind us of God's order in creation. The seventh day rest is meant for us to remind ourselves of the glorious God who created all things. He put all things in order. You see, the culmination of God's creation is this seventh day. It's almost as if he has ordered and filled and he has worked to produce this seventh day. This is the culmination of the text here. And as he separates this day from the other days. Well, why? How do we know that he separates it? He says in verse 3, so God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy. But the work he does in creation, he's now given to Adam to do that type of work. Genesis 2:15, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? To sit? No, to work it and keep it. God puts it into order and he says, Adam, I need you to work my garden and I need you to keep it. Don't just sit there and let it be overgrown. And you have to guard that which I have put in order. Interesting. These words, work it and keep it, are the exact words used of the priests who were in charge of the tabernacle as they were to minister or to work the tabernacle, the presence of God, where the presence of God dwelt among God's people. And they were to guard it, the dwelling place of God. Part of their ministry was continuing to show the people what they ought to do in God's presence. They were to guard God's presence. It sounds like the church does. It should. You should say, oh, we're supposed to work and guard. Okay, that makes sense. We're to work at making sure things that maybe in disorder come back into order. And we're supposed to guard the presence of God in and among his people. So pre-fall, Adam and Eve were created to work, to order God's beautiful creation by exercising dominion over it. They're also to protect it. They're also called in Genesis 1 to multiply and fill the earth. So these image bearers will fill the earth and do what God has already done in his creation, and continue to glorify God by reflecting his nature, putting things in order, filling it with his presence. That was God's plan, right? But we all know these things. God will accomplish his plan too, right? Even through the fall, God will bring about a new creation in which will accomplish that which he set forth to do, to put it in order, and to fill it with people who glorify God. That's what we preached last week in Easter. But then it says God rested on the seventh day. Why? Well, he intends for us to rest on the seventh day. To do what? To worship him. To remind us of the work that he has given to us. To do work well. This seventh day, or Shabbat, or Sabbath day, in which man was to cease from their work. Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is in the Ten Commandments, by the way. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. It's devoted to God himself. On it, you shall not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, your sojourner, who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. He devoted it. He made it holy. He set it apart as the day of worship. See, what does worshipful rest do for you? It causes you to evaluate your own work. Let's take for a moment the work of a parent. That's a work. It's a gospel work. It's a hard work. I'm a parent. Maybe in your home there's screaming and disobedience, a lack of gratefulness, right? Maybe I'm not just the only one that deals with these situations. Right? And this kind of chaos exudes from your home. And all of a sudden you're reminded, oh, but God, he brought light from darkness. He ordered the land so that I could have a place to put my feet on solid ground. Oh, he has filled all this creative work, like animals and plants and humanity, which is created to reflect the glory of God. And maybe in just a minute, if you sit down for just a moment and you reflect upon his great work of creation and his glorious work of the gospel of Christ, maybe I can rest in the fact that God is going to bring light from darkness. And he's going to do order from chaos, and he will fulfill what his word says. It's the Hebrew Bible's way in this text of saying he who began a good work will carry it on to completion. Reflect on it. He created and it was good. We messed it up. He's going to recreate it. and make it good. In Noah, right? And then again, through Abraham. And then again, ultimately through Christ. And ultimately in the new creation. He who began a good work will carry it to completion. You know, the number seven, it's all over the Bible. You can see it all over. It means fullness or completeness. The number seven is all over these pages of Scripture, their first pages of Scripture. There are seven words in Genesis 1:1. There are two sets of seven in Genesis 1:2. So it's 14 words, two lines of seven in Genesis 1:2. There are seven paragraphs in this creation account, each marked by evening and morning. And the concluding seventh paragraph, and I've already said this, begins three lines which have seven words apiece. There's no evening and morning in that last line. And what God is saying in this text and through this understanding of this seventh day is He is going to finish the work He started in His creation. That the glory of God will fill the earth as the waters cover the seas with humans created in the image of God. He will take that which is in disorder and put it into order, and He will fill it with His presence. Time and time again, God will bring order from chaos. Ultimately, it will be Jesus dying on the cross for sins of humanity, so that mankind can enter that worshipful rest that we were designed to enter into. You see, in the text later on, it says in chapter 3 that the Lord God was walking through in the garden in the cool of the day. Does that sound like the Sabbath to you? I think it does. Walking through a garden in the cool of the day. Is that something you do during your 8 to 5? No, it's not mine. I don't get an opportunity to just walk through the garden in the cool of the day. I'm at work. I'm focused. I'm doing my job. I'm doing what I'm called to do. That is not ceasing from work. But God, walking through the garden in the cool of the day, instead of fellowshipping with the Lord and walking with them, as Adam and Eve were called to do, enter into His rest, guess what they're doing? They're hiding. Why are they hiding? Because of their sin. Sounds like to me they were supposed to be with the Lord, walking the garden, enjoying its fruits and fellowship with the Lord. See when my neighbor, Brad, who's my neighbor, by the way, he knows everyone in the neighborhood. He walks around the neighborhood. He knows everybody. He knows all their kids. He knows everything that's going on. When my neighbor, Brad, he comes over to me when I'm mowing the grass, you know what? I take my headphones off. I stop the mower, the work that I'm doing, and we talk, and we enjoy the fruit of my labor, looking at the lawn. That's what we do, right? If I had a vineyard and someone came to visit, I would put down my shovel and I would show them the fruits of the vine. That's what, when the Lord enters into the garden, that's what Adam and Eve should have been doing. They should have been saying, oh, the Lord is here. Let's walk with Him. Let's show Him our fruit. Let's show Him the work that we've done. But they're hiding. They missed the rest with God, and a result of sin, and a result of their wickedness in their work. And as a result, God says their work will now be so much harder. How much harder is it for us to teach a child in the way they should go when they talk back? Don't want to listen? How much harder is it to manage an employee that lies to you? makes your work a lot harder, doesn't it? I mean, Adam and Eve's work was a lot harder when Cain killed Abel, wasn't it? So now we must rest in the Lord to produce in us a work that glorifies Him. And we must rest in that He will complete the work that He started. Verse 3. So God blessed the seventh day, He made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. This is point number 2. The seventh day rest points us to the worship, points us to worship as God's design for His people. He set it apart. He made it holy. He blessed it. He's pointing us to this as what we were intended to do. This day is set apart as holy to the Lord for the worship of Him. It's like this consummation of the work that was done, and now we're thanking God for the work that we have accomplished through worship, or ceasing the work and dwelling in His presence. Notice this. I am reading Genesis chapter 2 is pre-fall. It's not bound in the law. It's bound in creation. Sabbath rest. So when we boil that down, what does it look like? This seven-day cycle is completed. 6 days of work for the glory of God. The seventh day is ceasing from work, a different type of work, which is called in the Bible rest, in which we dwell or settle down in the presence of God. And we should associate this type of dwelling or settling down in the presence of God with what? Worship. Now you're thinking to yourself, Matt, my brain is kind of exploding here, and I understand that. So some people are asking themselves, so you're supposed to worship on the seventh day, which is Saturday? What are we doing here on Sunday? We're worshiping on Sunday. That's right, we worship on the eighth day, which is the new creation, right? Because Jesus resurrected on Sunday, and we live in new creation as new creations created in Christ Jesus. You see, the seventh day was pointing us forward to the redemptive work of Christ. So in the 21st century, they couldn't make up their minds, so they just gave us Saturday and Sunday off, right? No. We as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ celebrate and worship on Sunday because we rest in Christ. The Sabbath, which was the sign of the old covenant, pointed us to a fulfillment in Christ. Colossians 2:16 says it best. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or new moon or a Sabbath. These are shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. The day has changed to the eighth day because of the work of Christ, but the spirit of the day, which is the worship of God, has not changed. Because again, rooted in creation, this understanding of worship unto the Lord as this day is holy, but it's also blessed. And this blessing comes in light of the blessings here we find in chapter 1. The blessings of God first to humanity and also to the animals. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So there's this understanding of fruitfulness and multiplication in this blessing. And He's also blessing the multiplication of the birds and the sea creatures in Genesis 1:22. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters of the seas, and let the earth multiply on the earth. So this blessing that God is talking about on this seventh day includes fruitfulness, It includes fullness, it includes multiplication, it includes filling. So we gather together every week on Sunday to cease from our work. You're not working here. I hope you're not doing the text message and the email response right now. To cease from our work, to worship the Lord God Almighty, to remember the Creator who will carry His good work to completion through His salvation in Christ Jesus. And we rest in the blessings of God that's provided to us by Christ and the Spirit of the living God to be fruitful in our labor to glorify God with our life. Did you get all that? God created you to worship Him. Therefore, when you rest in Christ, you are blessed by the Spirit of the living God to produce fruitful labor and multiplication for His glory. So now hopefully the picture is becoming clear. God desires for us to rest so that we are reminded of God's glorious work and that we may worship Him. Sounds like Sunday morning to me. That's what the preaching of God's word ought to do. Remind you of God's glorious work and respond to Him in worship of the Lord God Almighty. That's what we do. You cease from your work and you say, I need the Lord today. And hopefully from the preaching of God's word, the singing of the songs, the taking of the Lord's Supper, the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ, you are reminded of the good work of the gospel and you worship the Lord God Almighty. You cease from all your activities and you say, I am here to worship the Lord God, and He produces fruit in your life through changing your heart. That's what He does. That's why we gather, to rest in Christ. This last aspect of the text comes from the fact that there's no evening or morning in this section. Look at verse 31. It says at the end, so God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done. But there's no, and there was evening and morning. Look at verse 31 of chapter 1. And God saw everything He made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. That's how it ends every single day. There was evening and morning. But on the seventh day, there is no evening and there is no morning. It's almost like the invitation is open, right? It's open-ended invitation as the Lord invites you to enter into His rest, His worshipful rest. This is point number three this morning. The seventh day rest is meant to remind us that He who began a good work will carry it to completion. The seventh day rest continues. It doesn't end. It's the invitation. It's still offered. God's finished work of creation was good, and He offered Adam and Eve to enter into His rest, but they chose to go their own way. And so God has not stopped His work to help you enter into His rest. Jesus says in John chapter 5:16, and this was the Jews were persecuting Jesus because He was doing these things on the Sabbath. And we'll get to all this later, trust me, in our series. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. You see, the Sabbath is this invitation because the Father is still at work. He who began a good work will complete it. The whole Bible displays the work of God in which He's putting things in order, and He's filling His creation with His Holy Spirit that they may fill the earth. But when Jesus hung on the cross, you know what His words were on the cross? He said, it is finished. The redemptive work of Christ completed so that we can enter into God's rest. Amen? You see, the Sabbath rest is offered. This worshipful rest in the presence of God. Think of you walking in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden by the Lord God Almighty. That's offered to those who place their faith in Christ. The invitation is to have fellowship with this God who invites you into this seventh day rest from all this chaos and all this work, and even it's hard work because of sin. God invites you to sit and rest with your Creator through the work of Christ. The presence of God now lives in you through the Holy Spirit. He's made a way where there seems to be no way. Will you walk with your God in the cool of the day? I hope this series is impactful for you as it will be for me. Because in the world in which we live is so busy and so much. We're at work almost all the time. We need to sit and rest with our God and be reminded of His goodness and His grace. Let us pray. Father, we thank You. Help us to sit. Help us to rest in Your glorious work that You have done. Help us even today to rest. Father, all the chaos swirls around us. We are busy with our hands trying to put it in order, trying to make things right, trying to fill. Help us to worship. Help our hearts to rest in the finished work of the gospel this morning. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.